Hi, and welcome to the First Cyber Podcast. I'm your host, Christoph Limpeler, and in this episode, we're joined by Tom Sweet, who is a Vice President of IT Solutions at GM Financial. And Tom is a global tech executive who is passionate about digital transformation, cloud computing, IT security, DevOps, and attacking the talent shortage head-on by reskilling and investing in his teams, and also sharing insights that help others succeed into getting into IT. Now, he was named a tech exec to watch in 2019 by HMG Strategy, and he is an honoree for the 2020 Once to Watch Award from IDG Communications, aka CIO.com. And he also has a series of video blogs called Sweet Talk with Tom, which are really awesome. You should definitely check it out. But Tom, it's really great to have you here. Thank you so much for joining us.
Great. Thank you, Christoph. I'm happy to be here. I just want to have a standard disclaimer at the beginning that my opinions are my own and do not necessarily represent my employer, GM Financial.
Absolutely. And Tom, I have to personally say, I've been keeping an eye on you because I've kind of watched your transformation with cloud and your approach to the talent shortage and how you do approach reskilling and investing in your teams, but also how you're building your social following by sharing advice and giving back feedback about, you know, what's working, what's maybe not working as well. And I feel like you found an incredible blueprint that we can all learn from. So I'm really excited to kick off the show with you. And I know that we're going to learn a lot of really helpful information today. So, you know, thanks again for being on the show. Really appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks.
So let's start with a brief overview of your own journey to IT. How did you even get started in the first place?
Sure. I graduated college back in 91, and I really didn't know computers back then. We had a Fortran class freshman year. We had a little bit of a request from us in the civil engineering department regarding programming and running software and such. But I really graduated college not knowing computers. Back then, it was mostly a digital VAX that we used, or it was maybe some 286 Windows machines. But I graduated. I got a job at the Mass Highway Department as a civil engineer. And there was a gentleman at the Highway Department who had an interest in computers. So I started learning, and I actually bought my first real computer back in 91 and started playing with it. Way back then, things just weren't as simple to use. You had to understand IRQs and how to put network cards in, and the computers just weren't all built with everything you needed off the shelf. I played around a bit and then really got bored with engineering and had an opportunity to go to NEC Computer Systems Division back in 97. So my first job was in kind of a testing laptops. So NEC Computer Systems Division sold laptops, and I'd test the integration of the laptop with the Windows NT4 image or the Windows 95 or OS2 image, and just started really enjoying the interaction with the computers and playing with them. And I've been in the field ever since. You know, throughout my career, I did a little bit of work with DEC. I went to a startup for a while. I was at GTE into networking. I worked my way to Colorado. I worked at Microsoft in the Office 2010 and SQL Server 2008 R2 releases. And now I'm at GM Financial. I was leading up software developers and software quality assurance, and I'm transitioning to cloud solutions currently. And by the time this podcast airs, I'll be leading up cloud engineers and such as we go towards our cloud-first journey.
Well, and today you have 10 IT certifications. I believe you've got some cloud certifications and some CyberSec certifications as well. And like you said, you're running an IT team at GM Financial Services. So more specifically to GM Financial Services or the more recent past, what does that journey look like to this point? You know, what are some important lessons that maybe you've learned over the course of your career in the last few years that have helped you succeed in IT to the level that you have?
Sure. In addition to working at GM Financial, I'm also part of different IT executive groups and such. The common theme among all of these groups is that IT needs to deliver business value. You have to think of IT as part of the business. One of the biggest problems I see in a number of companies is IT separates themselves from the rest of the business partners. And they refer to everyone else as the business. But IT itself is the business, and IT needs to be the order shaper, not the order taker. So if you approach it with that, and think about how you're delivering business value as opposed to how you're delivering technology, that's a really good way to approach it. And that helps drive your work towards actually helping the company. Another important piece is the investment and retaining of your talent. There are certain individuals who work in IT who just love it, and they'll spend 40 hours a week in their own time learning and growing. However, there's a lot of people for whom IT is a job, and they want to do well at it, but they're just not going to geek out. You have to find a way to motivate them, provide them the vision, and provide them a path to success. Because if they're not out there downloading the latest open source because that's just not their desire, you have to find a way to motivate them so they stay up. Too often, people in IT sometimes get stuck. You know, they're a COBOL programmer, they're a .NET programmer, but they don't necessarily expand and grow their skill set beyond that. And as leaders, we have to encourage that in our team. And one way to do that is to set an example and be part of that journey ourselves. You know, I have 8 cloud certs, and it's not that the cloud certs make me an expert, but as I desire to learn, and now I'm leading up a cloud team, I have to be able to have those skills. I have to be able to demonstrate to my team I have those skills, but that I'm also on the same journey they are. And last weekend, I failed the Kubernetes application developer cert. So, and yes, it's sad that I failed it, but it's also something I shared with my team because I want them to know that, you know, it doesn't come easy for us either. And we don't always make it right the first time. So we understand if they struggle, but we also, I'm going to take the exam again and I'll pass it next time, I'm pretty sure. But those are some lessons, and we can expand on those if you want.
Definitely. So you brought up at least three to four key points that we're going to spend the rest of the episode on, because I think they're absolutely really important for people to understand and get your opinion on. And I've also heard you talk about the importance of building your confidence as a communicator, especially when it comes to landing that first or second job in IT. And so we'll dive into that a little bit more throughout the episode, but could you share your thoughts on that with our audience of aspiring IT professionals and maybe finding that confidence and finding that voice?
Sure. So if we go back to maybe 2012, I was working at a company called MapTech, which is a great company. They did software for mineral mining, geology, that type of thing. And I was trying to really, you know, figure out where my career was going. I was reading an article on CIO.com from a woman named Martha Heller. So she's a contributor to CIO.com, but she's also one of the top CIO recruiters in the country. And in her article, she was talking about how her clients were looking for IT leaders who had a social media following, who spoke at conferences, who were thought leaders. And at that point, I was like, the social media thing, which I've been avoiding, is something I really can't avoid for my career. So I started making steps towards developing a brand that when people search for me, I could control what was found. And I started working to either write articles or to eventually starting video content. I try to contribute to magazines. I try to speak at conferences where I can, often as part of panels. That's important because that helps distinguish me from a lot of other leaders, especially in my age bracket. There's an awful lot of IT leaders who have been great relationship leaders, but they may have fallen behind in technology. They're also not as visible. So I need to be visible. I need to continue building my brand. So for someone who's transitioning into the industry, that lesson applies the same way. There's a lot of individuals graduating college. There's a number of people who may be in a career right now. They have desire, tremendous desire to get into IT, but you know, maybe they're working in retail right now. And how do you bridge that gap? How do you take someone, you know, if you are someone working in retail, how do you convince an IT company that, hey, you know what, you've done all this work on your own, you can do this. How do you get that chance? I mean, that happened to me back in 97, coming from engineering. I had a reference that got me 50% of the way there, but a number of people don't have that reference. But if they start going to meetup groups, if they start writing content on LinkedIn, and just like we had discussed on the phone last week, that woman up in Denton, she's writing a lot of content. She's showing her journey on LinkedIn about what she's learning. Well, I have my eye on her to, you know, potentially bring her in as talent at some point when I have an opening. So it's making yourself marketable. It's making people know who you are, right? You could be a really great candidate, but if no one knows you, it's going to be hard for you to be discovered.
Well, and lack
you want to, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Lack of experience remains one of the biggest barriers to entry for beginners in cybersec, IT, you name it, because a lot of the jobs require that experience. But as you're talking about building that social media exposure, it can help overcome some of those limitations because, and I was recently talking to someone about this, he was so passionate, or he's so passionate about cybersecurity, and he really wants to get that first job. But when you go online and you look for his social presence, you don't get the feeling that he's passionate about it because you don't see anything coming out, right? And so I know you touched on the fact that before you maybe weren't as social or involved in social media, and then you started realizing that it's really important that I differentiate myself by being more active on social media. What triggered in your head to help you overcome that, maybe that friction of I don't want to go to social media or be on social media, to okay, now this is part of my strategy. Here's what I'm going to post. Here's how I'm going to approach it.
What triggered it is just getting older. My observation is that it's harder to get jobs as you get older, right? That's just the reality of the world. And what do I need to do to secure my future? It's also planning well in advance, as opposed to planning 4 to 6 months down the road, planning 4 to 6 months down the road and, you know, 2 to 5 or 2 to 10 years. But another example that I go back to is when I worked at Microsoft, there was a position called technical evangelist. And these are the men and women who might speak at Microsoft Ignite or the Microsoft Build Conference and talk about the new features coming out. And I asked that team, how do I become a technical evangelist? What's the interview process like? What skills are needed? And the gentleman said, oh, it's really easy. You already are a technical evangelist. Then you come to us and tell us that you are one. I'm like, what do you mean? He says, well, do you write a blog? Do you do this? Do you do this? I'm like, no. I was like, well, that's kind of what we need in that group. So it's also, you know, parlays exactly into what we're talking about now is if you are like that gentleman you mentioned who really is passionate about cybersecurity, if he is writing about cybersecurity and demonstrating how to make your network secure or talking about new ways to test privacy of your phone apps or, you know, he has, you know, some lessons that he's learning and following and be able to, people really want to follow someone else's journey. Mm-hmm. If you look at YouTube videos and the subscribe people who have hundreds of thousands of subscribers on YouTube, many of them are talking about their journey, whether it be gardening or a career move, but people want to follow and people, you know, will root for you to be successful. And it is some investment when you only have so much time in your life and you have family time, you have to maybe mow the lawn, you're trying to study, you're working late, you got to go food shopping, you have children, you got to balance all that. Mm-hmm. And making time for personal marketing, whether it be, hey, I'm going to write an article on how to start a diversity and inclusion program at my company. How would I do that? I'd write the article, then I got to shop it around to someone. I mean, those are different things that people can do to help build themselves up. There's also writing on Medium.com or there's all different places. You just have to be willing to dig in, and it's just how much effort you want to put in.
So I've heard you mention blogging. I've heard you mention social media and speeches and things like that. You have a team now, and you know you may not have open positions at this point, but at some point in time, hopefully you'll have some open positions. You've hired people in the past. So when you look for talent that way, and you mentioned that lady that's really making her presence known on social media, and you've got your eye on that, what are some other things that people can do? Would you look at maybe some projects, some community involvement outside of blog posts and speeches and social media? Mm-hmm. Is there anything else like certifications or education? What are some other key points there?
Oh, there's a ton. So getting to social involvement. So if you have some time, right, let's suppose that you are an aspiring cybersecurity professional. What you could do is if you're having trouble getting an internship or maybe volunteering at a company, maybe for free to get that experience, if you belong to a church or a synagogue or a mosque, or you want to, there's a nonprofit that you like, you can volunteer your time in return for getting that experience, I mean, maybe you can write their risk policy, right? There's a lot of stuff that's available online, like for NIST and from all these different sites that talk about cybersecurity policy and best practices. You can take those templates and create this for a nonprofit, and that gives you some experience. As far as certifications, again, don't make you the expert, but it does really help. Because in order for you to get those certifications, you have to go through a base level of training, and that demonstrates to a potential employer, someone who understands the value of certifications, that you put the effort in and that you're learning. And you're, if you've learned that prior to coming to work for me, I believe that you will then continue learning and growing for the direction that we want you to take. I've interviewed a number of people in a number of different companies that I've worked for, and they all admit, hey, oh, I will learn anything you want me to learn. It's like, okay, great. But in the past 2 years, you haven't demonstrated learning anything. You know, what books have you watched? What podcasts have you listened to? What webinars have you watched? What meetup events have you gone to? Right. And you can just kind of pull these things out. And so for 2 years, maybe someone's been unemployed and he or she hasn't really done anything to kind of get out of that. And that's sometimes a rut people get in. But on the other hand, if you can come to someone and say, look, I'm maybe not an expert, but I've learned this and this and this and this and this, it's like, wow, that's a dream employee. We can definitely mold that person. And if that person has the character, the desire, the skills necessary, may not have the experience, we'll get the experience, but you have everything else. I mean, that's a powerful sell.
Mm-hmm. Well, and with certifications, I can't stress this enough, because I've seen so many people who expect to get the certification, and then all of a sudden they expect the jobs to start pouring in, and that's just not how it works. Instead, with certifications, it's about the journey to the certification, just like what you're talking about. It's about how you're studying for it, what you're learning in the process of getting the cert. So of course, it's great to have that the piece of paper at the end of it, but it's really everything from the first day you start studying for it to the day that you take the exam, everything in between that. That's where you optimize for truly learning. Try to find ways of sharing that experience and that learning journey. Maybe it's building projects that show that you learn certain concepts. Just try to showcase that, or try to extract that information out during an interview to show that, hey, I really did learn by taking the certification. It's not just a piece of paper at that point. So really, really important point. Tom, as a follow-up to that, if you have somebody who's in that situation, maybe they've been unemployed for 2 years, or they're trying to change jobs for this, you know, for the past 2 years, what skills or what experience should they focus on building maybe for the next few months? Are there specific tools, technologies? What would you recommend there?
Sure. It's kind of a challenging question, because there's a number of different paths. There's a cybersecurity path, maybe there's a cloud path, maybe there's a robotic process automation path, maybe there's a data analytics path. There's a couple of different paths that people can go. But if you were to look at cloud, for example, as a path, if you have really strong interest in cloud, I'd look at, you know, at least getting a basic either Azure Fundamentals or a AWS practitioner certification at the very basic level. Mm-hmm. Maybe get some learning on Docker, right? A Docker certification might be the next step after maybe a basic architecture certification in either AWS or Azure. Additionally, you know, the Kubernetes cert is really needed right now, because that particular certification is 100% lab. It's not a multiple choice. You have to actually do work in it. It has more value in industry, and it's really hard. Like I said, I failed it. So my first time out. But that's something to think about. And then the other point I didn't bring up earlier is contributing to open source. There are a number of projects online that are open source, and you can find some that you like and start contributing to them. Even if you're just writing documentation, you're fixing spelling errors. I've done that on Microsoft. There's some Microsoft open source, and the documentation has some spelling errors, and that happened. So I was able to work on that and contribute to Microsoft's open source by making some very simple corrections. If you're new in the industry and you want to try to establish yourself, work on some open source projects. Start learning how the source control systems work, how to work with a team of people that are remote. Those are all great skills. And if I were to go to your GitHub site, I could actually see that you're contributing to GitHub and there'll be little, like a little chart with different colors to show what month and how often you're contributing. That goes a long way to show me that, hey, you know what, you actually can do this. You may not have had a job, a paying job doing it, but you're contributing to open source. I can, you know, look at your check-ins and see what you've done. That goes a long way too. And then combine that, you know, getting back to the certifications, you know, I think that, again, the containerization, the Docker, the cloud, all that stuff is going to be super critical. And I was actually listening to a podcast this morning when I was running, talking about, and this was the Technovation podcast, but talking about that, how companies are moving, you know, that cloud skill set is so in demand.
Well, and I believe you mentioned in the past too that, that GM Financial gives their employees allocated time during the week for ongoing and continuous education. First of all, sure. I'll make sure that's right, right?
Sure. So I had an hour a day for my team. I got a little bit extra because I'd work with a CIO, but I was giving an hour a day for my team. We have in a wider IT organization, it's not quite the same level as an hour a day, but we do have that. And that's in addition to the other training that we offer. But that's important, right? We have to have an upskilled team, and we have to be able to invest in that. And so some of the things we provide a lot of online learnings and such. So we had Linux Academy, we've had, you know, Pluralsight, a lot of other different online programs to provide that. We've also done things like work with Tarrant County College, which is a local community college in the Fort Worth area. And we had a specialized course created for us. And I sent 60 people, you know, throughout two different courses at night to upskill them in a certain area. So we've done things like that too, because some people wanted an in-person class, and we're trying to figure out the best balance between in-person classes and online courses, right? A lot of times an in-person class is 5 days, and it's really hard to absorb material in 5 days. Whereas if I were to do one night a week over 16 weeks, that gives people enough time to kind of practice and absorb it, especially if it's a programming course, right? It's really hard to learn programming in 5 days. If you already know another programming language, then maybe a 5-day programming class might help you transition from, say, Java to C# or something. But if you've never programmed in C# or Java, trying to teach that in 5 days, it's like trying to teach someone Spanish in 5 days. You're just not going to learn it, right? You're going to absorb it all, but then it's just too much to absorb for one person.
So two-part question, because one of the problems with that is, having worked in edtech for a while, I can definitely say that programs like yours and leaders like you are a lot less common than we might hope. Mm-hmm. So on the individual IT professional side, what advice would you give if you have somebody who's working in an organization that does not have a program like this, and they're very busy in evenings, like you said, grocery shopping, mowing the lawn, kids, things like that? How do they find the time, and how do they take control of their own individual development plans? What would you say are some steps to helping with that?
Sure. So the first thing, you just kind of pinned it, you have to take control of your own development plan. You have to schedule it in, right? Maybe it means getting up at 6 o'clock on a Saturday and spending that time learning. I have a mobile phone like most people. I can put training on my phone and listen to it. I can listen to it at 1.5 speed to absorb more of it. I'm not driving to work right now because we're remote, but I'll listen to training on the way to work. Now, if I have 10 commutes, you know, to and from each day times 5 days, I'll try to listen to something, 6 of those 10. You know, the other 4 might be reserved for music or just clearing my mind, mm-hmm. but I have to use that. And, you know, one of the funny expressions we have at work is keep up with the Cloudashians, not the Kardashians. And a lot of people, we had this little contest and embarrassing, right? A lot of people could tell you the name of Kim's fourth child or the clothing lines that the family owns, but they really couldn't describe platform as a service versus infrastructure as a service, mm-hmm. right? So we have this thing, keep up with the Cloudashians, not the Kardashians. And you can do things like if I have a Roku device, I can put YouTube on my TV. And instead of watching sports or instead of watching sitcoms that just aren't going to provide me any value in my life, I can watch YouTube channels and learn about Kubernetes, or watch the Microsoft Build conference that I didn't get to go to, and then watch, you know, Scott Hanselman or Satya Nadella talking about whatever's coming. You know, those are ways that people can adjust, right? If they're mowing your lawn, right? Get the noise canceling, protective mm-hmm. big headphones, right, and listen to a podcast or listen to something during that. This is how you can get this multiplier effect, because I still have to mow my lawn, but I can do something else while I'm watching that. If I'm exercising, if I'm cleaning the house, right, I still have to do laundry, but I can still, you know, listen to things.
Absolutely.
In the background.
You know,
and then lunch. I can do things during lunch, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, you know. So.
Training, podcasts, ebooks, mm-hmm. things like that are really good to download on your phone or to stream through the phone while you're mm-hmm. doing those other things like you mentioned. So absolutely. So the second part to that question is, if somebody's listening and either they're an individual contributor or they're an IT manager and they want to try to implement a similar program to what you described that you have at GM Financial for that allocated time during the week and continuous education, what are some advice that you would give them to sell that concept to leadership? How do they approach mm-hmm. the subject and stuff like that?
Sure. So I have a cloud training program on my GitHub site. So github.com/ThomasJSuite. So I have a little bit of a training program there that you can take to start with. But the first is trying to demonstrate the value. And if a lot of companies are struggling to find talent, the selling is, hey, let's build that talent inside, you know, and try to get some rough metrics. You're not going to have programmatically generated metrics. But if, let's suppose you're going to a new cloud system. So people are going to have to learn the infrastructure's code. They're going to have to learn Docker and Kubernetes. They're going to have to learn cloud stuff. There's a lot of things, and your existing team may not have that skill. So it's showing that it's an investment and selling it as an investment as opposed to a cost. And it's no different than investing some money for savings or investing some money for later improvement, right? That's all it is. It's just selling it as an investment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I had, you know, some situations on my team where I had some people who weren't as skilled as they needed to be, and that was the sell. And it was actually surprisingly good. The bigger challenge is getting people to use that time, because we have been traditionally very project and delivery focused. And even though people are given the time and the CIO signed off on that, they sometimes still feel like their project work is a priority. And I'm telling them, no, their investment in the future is a priority. They're not going to be able to do the job better if they don't invest their skill, right? You can't sit there and say, we don't have enough time to use the farm tractor because we have to plow the field manually,
right?
with the hoe, right? But, you know, we're too busy plowing the field to read the book on how to start the tractor. And it's the same type of thing in IT. So
fantastic. I mean,
it's worked out well, right? And I go to my new team, I got to figure out this 1 hour a day, because that's in a different group, and I got to resell it again, but I'm sure I'll do fine, right? We did have a lot of success, right? And so when you look at it, not at the, if you look at it as the enterprise wide, I had a contest a year and a half ago where we were just kind of struggling getting some certs done. So I said, you know, the first two people, we're going to, you know, the first one to get these two certs are going to get a trip to Microsoft Ignite. The next person will be chosen from random based on everyone who does that. And I wound up getting some extra money. So I got four trips, and we got 60 cloud certs on across, you know, the third floor, which is not just my team, but other teams in the organization. And we got 60 cloud certs, which was kind of cool. But now, skip ahead, we have over 400
wow.
in the organization, and I think about 165 on the team that I'm moving away from. And now, look at that. That's a game changer.
Mm-hmm.
When you sit there and say, how do we get the cloud first? Oh, wow, we have 400 people who have a cloud certification, and many have more than one. So you can sit there and say, cloud, you know, certifications mean nothing. They're resume padding. They don't really show anything. Right. And that's an argument that people will have. But now flip it around and say, would you rather tell the CEO that you have no one cloud certified, or that you have 400 different people in mm-hmm. your organization, which is about one third of the whole IT, right, who have a cloud cert, right? That is a success. That is showing that you're just delivering a culture of continuous learning, because people want to be in the group that has a cloud cert, right? They want to be part of the new thing. And it starts really growing, and we reached critical mass earlier this year, and now it just continues to expand, right? The people who were against this from the beginning now are on board, and that's powerful. And again, it's not like the cert means everything, but it does mean that the team is learning, and I'd rather be in a learning organization and lead a learning organization than and not. So
I love the idea of building an internal competition like that. And obviously this is a resounding success story for that. So definitely a good recommendation. If anybody's on a similar journey or they're trying to get to that level that you're talking about, think about some ideas of creating internal competition. And it doesn't have to cost a lot. Like you mentioned, tickets to something like Ignite, reInvent, or another conference where people like going to, or something even cheaper than that, potentially, I don't know, day off, or just things you can get creative with and really try to help build a lot of momentum internally towards getting to that. So Tom, really good, helpful information. Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast again. I know you mentioned github.com/TomSweet for your repository.
Thomas J. Sweet.
Yeah. For some helpful resources. If listeners want to connect or they have any follow-up questions, where else could they find you?
Sure. So I learned this from a gentleman named William Gordon, but I try to keep the same name on all my social media. So on LinkedIn, I'm Thomas J. Sweet. On Instagram, Thomas J. Sweet. On GitHub, Thomas J. Sweet. Hotmail, Thomas J. Sweet. So I try to keep the same and then Docker, Thomas J. Sweet. So,
I appreciate that. That makes it much easier.
So reach out to me. And I do get a lot of sales. I get about 10 or 15 people trying to sell me stuff every day. So make a little note that you heard it on a podcast or something to differentiate from what I get a lot of spam. So,
And also, don't forget to check out the Sweet Talk with Tom. Where can they find that?
Sure. So if you do hashtag Sweet Talk, so SweetTalk on LinkedIn, that's where I put all my videos. There's probably about 100 of them. I'm also on YouTube, but I don't really have a strong presence on YouTube yet. I need to work on that. So my videos are mostly on LinkedIn with hashtag Sweet Talk. Perfect. Or if you just go to my profile, you can dig them out.
Fantastic. Well, thank you all for tuning in. If you'd like to connect with me as well, just search for Christoph Limpelaer, Limpelaer, since I know that's not the easiest last name, and check it out or check out our community and training resources as well on cyber.com. But Tom, thanks again. Thanks everybody for tuning in and looking forward to see you next time.
Awesome. Thanks.